The words chosen for this morning are recorded in the 33rd chapter of Jeremiah, beginning with the 6th verse. Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and will rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from their iniquities by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. In Jesus, the captain of our salvation, a dear fellow redeemed. Captivity, bondage, slavery, incarceration. When we hear those words, what picture comes to our mind? Maybe it's the slavery that was permitted before the Civil War in our American South. Maybe it's the horrors endured in the Nazi and communist concentration camps where millions are reported to have died. Throughout history, there have been many in captivity and slavery. One of the great themes of the Bible is the Exodus theme. Here, God, through his servant Moses, brought his people up out of bondage in Egypt, brought them through the wilderness to the land flowing with milk and honey. In this text, Jeremiah alludes to another redemption or deliverance theme, the deliverance of the captives, which really is a recapitulation, or it's like the Exodus of old. Great was that captivity. In our mind's eye, we go back to about 600 B.C. God's people were living in the land of promise, but they had forsaken the Lord. They had run after other gods. Throughout their history, they had been continually tempted by the fertility rites of the pagans, of the Canaanites living around them. Here, perverted and promiscuous sexual acts were part of the liturgy, so to speak, so that God accused his own people of going a-whoring after other gods and not being a faithful bride to the Lord. Because Israel, and in this case Judea, continually rejected the Lord, he allowed their enemies to come upon them and carry them into captivity. In the Babylonian captivity, they languished as exiles and slaves for 70 years. The psalmist says, by the river of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplar trees, we hung our harps, for our captives asked for songs. Yet God did not forsake his people. He was a true husband to them. He, in love, remembered them weeping by the river of Babylon. He raised up Cyrus, the founder of the Persian Empire, who delivered them and proclaimed their right to return to the land of promise. All this history, this great Old Testament liberation event, points to our situation. Every one of us by nature was a captive in a slavery far worse than Babylonian captivity, to say the least. We were slaves of Satan, doomed to death and hell. And that slavery is still a part of us in our old sinful flesh today. Every one of us here this morning profess that we worship the one true God, right? And yet, is he number one in our lives today? Where are we looking for security this morning? Is it in the Lord? Or is it in our own abilities, our intellect, our academic degrees, our parents' Visa card, or our own Roth IRA? The Lord has given us great abundance, and we amass more and more. Even most college students have cars, they have iPhones, iPads, whatever they are. They have the latest styles and so forth. Often, one shopping trip to the mall is more than we'd spend throwing into the collection plate for a half a year. Or how much do we spend at Tavern on the Ave on Friday nights? Think about who we're serving. Think about our leisure time. We have, just think of all the modern conveniences that we have. My wife doesn't cook the coffee like my mother and put the egg in it and all that. She presses this button in the morning, and sometimes I have to press it. I don't like it when I have to press it. And yet, what are we doing with all that leisure time that we have? Are we serving the Lord, or are we having more vacations, more sports activities, more social activities? So often, we're running after other gods. Great was the captivity, but the deliverer was greater. The Exodus, the deliverance from Babylonian captivity, and all God's liberations in the Old Testament point to his last and greatest act of deliverance in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah calls him in just a few verses after this. He is one greater than Moses. He is one greater than Cyrus of old, for he didn't just proclaim our liberation. He took that bill of accusations that were against us, that list that can go a mile long, and nailed it to his own cross, blotting it out with his own blood. He is the one who is our Lord, our righteousness, who provides by his life and death the righteousness that will count as ours before his Father in heaven. And so we have been freed. Oh, we can be just like those Babylonian captives on the day the declaration was made, free so that we can skip and shout for joy. We have been freed by God's Son. Oh, we have hope. Now we are spiritual Zion. They returned to Palestine. We are spiritual Zion, the church called out of every nation. We've been washed from our impurities in the baptismal waters, as the text says. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity for which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon them. He speaks his word of forgiveness to each of us in his word and feeds us with himself in his church, in his meal of salvation. There, through those means of grace, he gives balm and healing for all our woes, all our conflicts and struggles, and he empowers us to live as the blood-bought children of God. Therefore, we will desire to draw more and more from the blindness of this world to the light of the Savior, proclaiming freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners. Right now, we're all part of the church where we have a foretaste of the promised land in heaven. Here, Jesus is the true temple. He's the Ark of the Covenant in our midst. And yet, inside of us, we long for the fullness of that land in heaven, when we will be with him forever. There are times when we sit by the river of Babylon and weep, longing to be freed from this land of sorrows. There are times when the daily struggles just get the best of us and we start to feel totally inadequate, almost incapacitated. I can't make it one step farther. We weep, but not as those who have no hope. Thanks be to God. We have our great captain and general, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is leading us all the way, strengthening us with his means of grace, giving us the power to go forward. And on the appointed day, he will come for us in this present vale of tears, in this land of sore distress, in the savage wilderness, and carry us home to everlasting joy, where we'll weep no more, Jerusalem the golden, with milk and honey blessed. Amen. Let us arise and pray. Arise, thou light of Gentile nations, Jesus, bright and morning star. Let thy word, that gladsome tiding, ring out loudly near and far. Bring freedom to the captives, peace and comfort to the slave, that the heathen, free from bondage, may proclaim thy power to save. Amen. We continue by singing the hymn.